a lot of well kent faces, some older and some younger. And George gave it these two hymns for Dortmund meeting. He was reminiscing how long we've known each other. But I was going back to the time when I first got to New George. And in Lahore at that time, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, we used to have open airs. And these two hymns were prominent features in these open air meetings. I heard them before I was saved and didn't pay any attention. But once I was saved, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Saviour. They meant a whole lot more than he'd ever done before. So with the reminiscences over, could you turn with me please to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it reads thus. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to keep, a time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboureth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labour. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. When we read these words and we think about time, don't put your hands up. I'm going to ask, how many of you have a watch tonight? How many of you have a mobile phone with time on the phone? I don't. I'm old fashioned. I carry a watch. But time seems to govern our life. Because we set the alarm in the morning, time to get up. Look at the clock at night, bedtime. Time governs us, no matter what we do. If you're in school, I'm assuming schools haven't changed since I was at them. The bell goes, it's the end of a period, time to get to another class. We're governed by time. And sometimes we don't appreciate really how precious time really is and what we do with it. The Bible gives us things about time. What we've read is really the round of life where things happen. It's just a round of life, if you want to sum it up that way. But There's also certain things about time that we should know that the Bible tells us about. In Psalm 89, in verse 47, we read these words. Remember how short my time is. This week in Cowdenbeath, there was a family who's lost her mum. She was only 31. How short my time is. When we look forward, and I'm going back to when I was very young, started to serve my apprenticeship, and somebody says, what's your ambition? I want to be a Cowrie chief engineer. It never transpired. But that, by the way. Looking forward, and we couldn't see how far into the future. And some things turned out what we hoped for, some things didn't. How short is my time? When we who are older look back, and George is talking about us first meeting, we're talking 56 years ago, it's just like that. But irrespective of how old we are, in relation to the whole sphere, our time is short. And sometimes we've got to think, how have I used my time? I put a wee title under that. The brevity of time or the shortness in my lifespan. In Hosea, we read these words. It is time to seek the Lord. The inference being there's a time when you'll not be able to seek him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. The time's coming when we'll not be able to seek him. He'll not be near. And under the words of Hosea, it is time to seek the Lord, I wrote these words. Urgency, purpose. There's a deadline we've got to meet. And once we've passed that deadline, as the word would put it, we've had it. Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he's near. I put a wee title there, proximity to opportunity. And the opportunity is there, and it's up to us to make the best of it, by trusting Jesus Christ as our Saviour. In Luke 19 and 10, we read this, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ's purpose. And you might be thinking to yourself, so, Christ came into what? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So what? There's a very important thing about that. Christ came to save you. He came to save me, because if we haven't trusted his Son as our Saviour, we are eternally lost. There's a line which must be crossed. Where? On one side of the line, you're lost. The other side of the line, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, once we put our trust in him and crossed over that line, we're saved. And we're glad of this. It's a salvation that can't be taken away from us. Once in Christ, in Christ forever, the poet put it, thus the eternal covenant stands. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Bear this in mind. In Romans 5 and 6 we read this. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. And the us includes the whole of humanity, worldwide, irrespective of creed, irrespective of colour, irrespective of nationality. Christ died for us. Then you might say, so what? So what is this? That the Lord Jesus Christ died for us so that we would not perish for a whole eternity. That we wouldn't be cast out into the everlasting abyss of hell. He died to save us. When we consider who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God, and as another verse says, the Son of God who loved me, and it becomes personal. It's not just us. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. It is personal. Christ died for us. But there's something else we've got to take into consideration. And something we don't want to think about it. It says this. In Acts 17, verse 29-31, there was a time of ignorance that God overlooked. He winked at. He overlooked. But then the time came when God will not wink at or overlook our ignorance. Because now is the time that God requires all men everywhere to repent. And repentance isn't just a matter of saying sorry. Repentance, because I get told often, sorry is easy to say, meaning you're sorry. But having repentance is having a change of heart altogether. And that makes a big difference, having a change of heart. Before I was saved, I used to go to church. There was only once, I think, we went to church because I was just a youngster. You were excused communion. When it was communion Sunday, you were excused because there was no Sunday school. And I think in the time I went, only twice did I ever get a second prize for attendance. And you know how many Sundays I missed? Two. You only got a prize for regular attendance or perfect attendance. And twice I got regular attendance because I'd missed two Sundays. And that was fine. I went along. Now, according to what I've been told, there was a lady who had an outreach from the church in South Glen Craig. And I got taken to that when I was two. Then she moved away. Then I went to the church itself, which is only a quarter of a mile up the road. And I went to junior Sunday school, senior Sunday school, and Bible class. And I'd heard the stories about the Lord Jesus. I'd read the Bible along with the Sunday school teacher. But it had never, ever dawned on me I needed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then one night, just before I was due to leave school, my friend and I were outside Bethany Hall in Lahore. And these two young ladies said to us, "Look, we've got a special meeting starting next week in the gospel tent in Ballingrey. What about coming?" But we agreed to go. The following Sunday night, we turned up, and fair enough, we heard the preacher. And we came out, and somebody else came and said, "What like was it?" Oh, the guy was there, and he was shouting, his arms were waving, and all the rest of it. We were back there on the Monday night. And we were back there on the Tuesday night. But the Tuesday night was entirely different. Don't ask me what the preacher was talking about. I can't tell you. But the difference was this. At the end of the service, he says, "Look, if there's somebody here that's not saved and you would like to be saved, come down the front with me after everybody's gone. So I looked at my friend, he looked at me and said, hey, what do you think? Yeah, we'll stay. And it was there, at the front of that tent, with Harold German, who was the preacher. And he read scriptures like these. While we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. And there was a light got switched on in here that made me realise that Jesus Christ had died for me. And that made a world of difference, because realising that Jesus Christ had died for me, I had to give a reaction to it. And the reaction could be one of two things. It could be Christ for me or no Christ for me. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no sitting on the fence. You cannot be neutral. It's either one or t'other. And that night, both of us said, in simple words like these, I'll tack 'em now. And we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And that was 1960. But that is fine for me. It might be fine for you. But there are other warnings come along with the Lord Jesus Christ loving us. Along with the Lord Jesus Christ coming to save us. Along with the Lord Jesus Christ wanting to make us one of his family. Become a son of God. An adopted son. Because the warning also comes. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now in the scripture we read, there's just this wee phrase in the last verse that we read. God requireth that which is past. It gets bandied about these days that local councillors, Scottish government councillors, our government, our politicians, the word that gets bandied about is accountability. But this line in the verse said, God requireth that which is past. And that applies to every one of us, because every one of us, whether we want to believe it, receive it, accept it or not, we are accountable to God for what we've done with Jesus Christ. Every one of us. Whether we've accepted him, whether we've rejected him, whether we become saved, or whether we prefer, I use the word lightly, prefer to be lost. Some people have used the excuse, I could never keep it. You don't do the keeping. Well, Lord Jesus Christ is the keeping. I could never live up to it. And that's quite true. We can never live up to everything that we're supposed to be. But I'll tell you this. We have somebody who mediates on our behalf with God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Again, referring to time. Every one of us has appointments, good times, and we've got a set time. And sometimes we'll miss appointments for whatever reason. But can I say this wholeheartedly? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is judgment. it's an appointment we will not miss. Because it's not us that will be in control about keeping the appointment. It's God. Appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. An appointment we will not miss. Sometimes when we hear court cases, see it on the news and the TV, we think, that's no fair. That judgment's no fit in the crime. Somebody's getting off light. And we think judges have made the wrong decision. With the Lord Jesus Christ being the judge of you and me, there will be no wrong decisions. Everything will be fair. Everything will be upright. Everything will be just because of who he is. He's the Son of God who loves us. He's the Son of God who makes no mistakes. Some people will say, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, was that a mistake? No, it wasn't. Because when he left heaven's glory to take on human form, he knew exactly what he was coming to. He knew exactly what he was coming for. When we think of the cross and the Lord Jesus there, and a villain on either side of him, and we think that these men said, ha, who does he think he is? If you're the Christ, save yourself and us. If. Cast doubt on who he was. But somewhere in that time, one of them got switched on and realised that the Lord Jesus Christ was exactly who he said he was. The Son of God, who has come to be the Saviour of the world, who came to be his Saviour. And he says, Lord, remember me. A more dire situation you couldn't find. But he says, Lord, remember me. And we're glad of this. The Lord Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Thou shalt be with me. Today, right now, if something like that had to happen, what category would you put yourself in? Would you be in the category of him that said, if you're who you say you're? Or would you be in the category of the one who had a complete change of heart, who did the repentance on the cross, who was penitent and said, Lord, remember me. Acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ for who he was. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. In Acts 17:31, we read these words. Because he, that is God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, that he hath raised him from the dead. Sometimes we sing the chorus of the hymn, living, he loved me, dying, he saved me, buried, he carried my sin far away. And here's the beauty of the last line, rising, he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, O glorious day. We'll be guaranteed an unbiased, a just, a fair judge of God's appointment. The Lord Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He didn't come to show you up for who you were. Though everyone else knows, in our heart of hearts, everyone else is a sinner and we need to trust him as our Saviour. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? Soon you might be asking, what will he do with me? There is a fatal line that will be crossed. And I'll reiterate the words which I've read already. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Lord is near and he wants you to find him. He wants you to trust him as your Saviour. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That purpose has never changed since he rose from the grave. So what will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be soon? You might be asking, what will he do with me? Will he accept me and take me to heaven? Or will he reject me because I've rejected him and I have condemned myself to a lost eternity? It was never his intention that that should be so. I'm going to turn now to John chapter 3, because I don't want to misquote the verse. John chapter 3. And I'm going to read through verse 33. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For God speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And here again is a dire warning. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Into which category would you put yourself? Somebody who's received the Son and has eternal life, or somebody who's rejected the Son and the wrath of God abides upon you? In the days when there used to be corporal punishment, when hanging was an offence, was accepted as corporal punishment, the judge would put on a black cap and he would say, this is the sentence, condemned. But between the sentence being passed and being executed, there was a time difference. Every one of us who has not trusted Jesus Christ as our Saviour are under the condemnation. But there is still time for a pardon to be received from Jesus Christ if you trust him as your Saviour. So where would you put yourself tonight? Condemned or lost? Condemned or saved? Whichever happens, it's totally your choice. Nobody else to blame but yourself. So I would ask you tonight to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek him while he may be found. Because the time's coming when you'll be accountable and you'll have to say before God, I accepted him as my Saviour, I rejected him. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be soon? You might be asking, what will he do with me? We'll take time to pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, Lord, I've tried as best possible to make the gospel simple, to trust your Son as Saviour and be saved, to reject him as Saviour and be lost. Lord, we appreciate that the Lord Jesus loves us And he doesn't want to condemn us to a lost eternity. He wants us to trust him as Saviour. So for everybody that's here tonight that's trusted your Son as Saviour, we commit them to you. We think of those in the community, the wider community, and throughout our land, who reject him as Saviour. Lord, when the judgment time comes and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," they've nobody to blame but themselves. So Lord, with these things in our mind and in our heart, we would again commit ourselves to you and pray you'll bless us. For we ask it in our Lord Jesus' name. Could we take time please to sing the words of 231 verses 1, 3 and 4. 1, 3 and 4 of hymn 231. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Verses 1, 3 and 4 after the introduction.
Say